Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Smartest Kids in the World and How They Got That Way by journalist Amanda Ripley investigates why students in some countries consistently outperform American teens on international assessments and what that reveals about culture, policy, and expectations. Built around immersive reporting, the book follows three American exchange students as they attend schools in Finland, South Korea, and Poland. Through their experiences, Ripley contrasts classroom life, homework loads, teacher status, testing pressures, and social attitudes toward learning. The narrative approach keeps the focus on real students while connecting their stories to broader research on educational outcomes. Rather than presenting a single miracle solution, the book highlights trade-offs and unintended consequences, showing how top-performing systems balance rigor, equity, and motivation in different ways. It invites readers to reconsider familiar assumptions about intelligence, merit, and what it actually takes for a nation to educate most kids well. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, learning through three exchange student journeys. A central strength of the book is its structure. Ripley uses the lived experiences of three American teenagers as a lens for understanding international education. By following them into unfamiliar schools and communities, she turns abstract comparisons into concrete daily realities, such as how lessons are taught, what students do after school, how peers react to effort, and how adults talk about achievement. This narrative method highlights how quickly students notice the hidden rules of a system. In one setting, independence and calm routines are emphasized. In another, competition and relentless practice dominate. In a third, reform and rising expectations reshape classrooms. The exchange students act as informed outsiders who can compare what they knew at home with what they encounter abroad. Their reactions expose cultural assumptions Americans may not recognize, including the belief that ability is fixed, that school should be entertaining, or that pressure is always harmful. The journeys also show that student outcomes reflect the whole ecosystem around school, including parenting norms, peer culture, and national attitudes toward education as a public good. Secondly, Finland and the power of equity, trust, and teacher professionalism. Ripley explores Finland as an example of high performance paired with a relatively low-stress academic environment. A key theme is the country's commitment to equity, minimizing large disparities between schools, supporting struggling students early, and maintaining a social safety net that reduces the effects of poverty on learning. The book also highlights the professional status of teachers. Teaching is treated as a selective, respected career, and educators are given meaningful autonomy to make instructional decisions rather than being micromanaged through constant external mandates. This trust-based approach is presented as a system choice with consequences. It requires rigorous preparation and accountability through professional standards, not just through frequent standardized testing. Finland's model challenges the idea that competition between schools is necessary for excellence. Instead, the book suggests that when most schools are reliably good, families can focus less on gaming the system and more on learning. Ripley also points out trade-offs and cultural context, emphasizing that policy cannot be copied mechanically without considering how values, governance, and social norms support the approach. Thirdly, South Korea and the high cost of extreme academic competition. South Korea is examined as a case where educational ambition is intense and outcomes on international tests are among the best. Ripley describes a culture that links academic success closely to social mobility and family pride, which fuels long hours of studying, heavy reliance on private tutoring, and constant comparison among students. The book treats this environment as both a driver of impressive performance and a source of significant strain. Students can become highly disciplined and resilient, but they may also experience anxiety, exhaustion, and a narrow definition of success. Ripley uses this contrast to ask what societies are willing to trade for top scores and what kinds of learning those systems prioritize. Another key idea is that pressure is not evenly distributed. It can concentrate on families who feel they cannot afford to fall behind, strengthening inequality through access to tutoring and test preparation. The South Korean case complicates simplistic narratives about raising standards. Higher expectations can work, but the book shows that without balance, the pursuit of achievement can distort childhood and limit creativity, curiosity, and well-being. Fourthly, Poland and how systemic reform can rapidly raise achievement. Poland serves as an example of a country that improves substantially by changing how secondary education is structured and by elevating academic expectations for a broader range of students. Ripley discusses how reforms can shift outcomes not only by helping top students, but by raising the floor for everyone. A major theme is delayed tracking, keeping students in a common academic pathway longer so that fewer are prematurely sorted into vocational routes that can limit later opportunities. The book also emphasizes the role of clear national standards and exams as signals that content matters and that schools will be judged on results. In this context, testing is not portrayed as a cure-all, but as one tool that can focus attention and make inequities visible. Poland's experience suggests that rapid improvement is possible when reforms are coherent and sustained long enough to change classroom practice. At the same time, Ripley points to the political and cultural challenges of reform, including resistance from interest groups and the difficulty of maintaining momentum. The Polish case underscores that education systems are designed, and redesign can change trajectories. Lastly, what international comparisons reveal about American schools and choices? Ripley uses international comparisons to examine recurring American debates about standards, accountability, funding, and local control. A key argument is that the United States often confuses inputs with outcomes and overestimates the impact of isolated reforms while underestimating the influence of culture and expectations. The book highlights how American students can be capable, yet surrounded by mixed signals. Messages that effort matters collide with beliefs that talent is innate, and the desire to protect self-esteem can reduce academic urgency. Another theme is fragmentation. With thousands of districts and uneven school quality, families may devote energy to finding the right neighborhood or program, which can intensify inequality. Ripley also explores how the status of teachers, the clarity of curricula, and the seriousness of student work differ across countries. Instead of promising a single fix, she emphasizes learning from the trade-offs other nations accept. For Americans, the practical takeaway is to focus on stronger, clearer academic expectations, a more professional teaching career, and policies that reduce extreme disparities. The comparisons are meant to provoke informed choices rather than national pessimism. In conclusion, this book is for parents, educators, policymakers, and curious readers who want a grounded, story-driven look at how high-performing school systems operate and what those systems demand from students and adults. It benefits readers by replacing vague opinions about education with vivid examples of daily classroom life and the cultural expectations that shape it. The exchange student narratives help readers see how motivation, resilience, and academic identity can change when expectations are clear and consistent. Compared to many education books that focus narrowly on a single program or ideology, Ripley offers a balanced tour of multiple countries, emphasizing trade-offs rather than miracle solutions. That makes the book especially useful for anyone trying to improve a school, design policy, or simply support a student at home without falling for simplistic fixes. It is worth buying because it combines accessible storytelling with serious international context, helping readers understand what excellence can look like and what it costs, and then apply those insights thoughtfully to their own communities. If you would like to support Amanda Ripley, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.